Everyone in Ankh-Morpork wanted to find the dragon's lair. At least, wanted to find it empty. Bits of wood on a stick wouldn't do it, he was certain. But as they said, set a thief. The phrase, set a thief to catch a thief, had by this time, after strong representation from the Thieves' Guild, replaced a much older and quintessentially Ankh-Morporkian proverb, which was, set a deep hole with spring-loaded sides, tripwires and whirling knife blades driven by water power, broken glass and scorpions, to catch a thief. He said, could one dragon sniff out another? I mean, follow a scent? Dearest Mother, wrote Carrot, talk about a turn up for the books. Last night the dragon burned up our headquarters, and lo and behold, we have been given a better one. It is in a place called Pseudopolis Yard, opposite the Opera House. Sergeant Colon said we have gone up in the world and has told Nobby not to try to sell the furnishings. Going up in the world is a metaphor, which I am learning about. It is like lying, but more decorative. There are proper carpets to spit on. Twice today, groups of people have tried to search the cellars here for the dragon. It is amazing. And digging up people's privies and poking into attics, it is like a fever. One thing is, people haven't got time for much else, and Sergeant Colon says, when you go out on your rounds and shout 12 o'clock and all's well while a dragon is melting the street, you feel a bit of a Burke. I have moved out of Mrs. Palm's because there are dozens of bedrooms here. It was sad, and they made me a cake, but I think it is for the best, although Mrs. Palm never charged me rent, which was very nice of her considering she is a widow with so many fine daughters to bring up, plus dowries, etc. Also, I have made friends with this ape, who keeps coming round to see if we have found his book. Nobby says it is a flea-ridden moron because it won 18 pence off him playing Cripple Mr. Onion, which is a game of chance with cards which I do not play. I have told Nobby about the gambling, brackets, regulation acts, and he said, piss off, which I think is in violation of the decency ordinances of 1389, but I have decided to use my discretion. Captain Vimes is ill and being looked after by a lady. Nobby says it is well known she is mental, but Sergeant Colon says it is just because of living in a big house with a lot of dragons, but she is worth a fortune, and well done to the captain for getting his feet under the table. I do not see what the furniture has to do with it. This morning I went for a walk with Reet and showed her many interesting examples of the ironwork to be found in the city. She said it was very interesting. She said I was quite different to anyone she's ever met. Your loving son, Carrot, X. P.S. I hope Minty is keeping well. He folded the paper carefully and shoved it into the envelope. Sun's going down, said Sergeant Colon. Carrot looked up from his sealing wax. That means it'll be night soon, Colon went on, accurately. Yes, Sergeant. Colon ran a finger round his collar. His skin was impressively pink, the result of a morning's scrubbing, but people were still staying at a respectful distance. Some people are born to command, some people achieve command, and others have command thrust upon them. And the sergeant was now included in this category and wasn't very happy about it. Any minute now, he knew he was going to have to say that it was time they went out on patrol. He didn't want to go out on patrol. He wanted to find a nice sub-basement somewhere. But noblesse oblige. If he was in charge, he had to do it. It wasn't the loneliness of command that was bothering him. It was the being fried alive of command that was giving him problems. He was also pretty sure that unless they came up with something about this dragon very soon, then the patrician was going to be unhappy. And when the patrician was unhappy, he became very democratic. He found intricate and painful ways of spreading that unhappiness as far as possible. Responsibility, the sergeant thought, was a terrible thing. So was being horribly tortured. As far as he could see, the two facts were rapidly heading towards one another. And thus he was terribly relieved when a small coach pulled up outside the yard. It was very old and battered. There was a faded coat of arms on the door. Painted on the back, and rather newer, was the little message, Winnie, if you love dragons. Out of it, wincing as he got down, stepped Captain Vimes. Following him was the woman known to the sergeant as Mad Sybil Ramkin, and finally, hopping down obediently on the end of its lead, was a small... The sergeant was too nervous to take account of actual size. Well, I'll be Margadored. They've only gone and caught it. Nobby looked up from the table in the corner, where he was continually failing to learn that it is impossible to play a game of skill and bluff against an opponent who smiles all the time.